All right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Hope you had a fabulous week. My week was pretty uneventful, except for we had the Derby race for Cub Scouts yesterday. As you guys know, I think I said that Noah came in the top five in his pack, so he went to district. So we had our first district race yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. About 80 cars racing, and they get some pretty good speeds. I think the highest was 226 miles per hour.
I can't believe that. That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's so hard to come in the top three because you're racing the top five racers of every pack in the district. So everyone's within, like, point something of each other, basically. I think, like, the top three were 226, 226.8, 226.4, and 224 something. So it was pretty close. And Noah came in around 220. So there were some pretty neat cars there. This one girl, because they let the girls in the Cub Scouts now, and in the Boy Scouts, I think there were two girls racing. And this one girl won best in show, first place for it. She turned her Derby car into, it looked like a pickup truck with a camper on it, one of those campers you put in the bed of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
What's the age group?
Cub Scouts. There's Tigers who are, I think, in, like, kindergarten age, so probably, like, five.
Right.
And then goes up to Weeblos, which Noah will be next year, so, like, 5 to 10 is the range. And then they go to Boy Scouts.
Oh, all right, all right. So when you're 10, so they were 5 through 10-year-olds racing.
Yeah. And it's some really interesting cars, and I think, like, the slowest car may have been, like, 198.
Okay.
So
now the Cub Scouts aren't in the cars going 200 miles an hour.
No, there's these little small wooden cars that they make. Yeah,
I know. I'm kidding.
And they have to be within, like, there's certain regulations. They have to be measured and weighed. They can't weigh over a certain amount. And you have your wheels have to be the same distance apart as everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of regulations for it.
Well, that's good though. Everybody's breathing and. You know.
Yeah. And so there's some tricks that you can do to make your car faster or whatever. I don't know anything about it. My dad helps Noah with it, with the aerodynamics and
good
stuff.
Good one.
Yeah. That's not my area of expertise. But that's probably the highlight of my week.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So we did have Super Tuesday this week. And it didn't turn out as I was thinking it was going to turn out, or as many people were thinking it was going to turn out, because Biden was doing not the best leading into Super Tuesday. And he had a really good Tuesday. He had a really good Tuesday.
Bloomberg got a rude awakening.
Yeah, he left.
Yeah.
He got torn apart.
He did. After spending $500 million.
I know. It just goes to show that everyone complains about money being an issue with campaigning and everything. And I mean, yeah, people may spend it the wrong way or whatever. But it doesn't matter the amount of money you put into it. It doesn't guarantee you're going to win.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And we found that out last year on the Board of Education. There were three people running to get guns back in school to arm, teachers or whatever. And they had a fundraising arm that raised $60,000, and they bought so much advertising, and the people that were running against them, it was like a regular election for them, because, you know, they only spent like maybe $3,000-$4,000, and two of the three lost of the big money, and so it just goes to show you that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Spend what you want, but sometimes it makes you look foolish.
Yeah, I think a lot with Bloomberg is, first of all, he was recently a Republican. He's not winning over a lot of Democrats just because of that fact. Second of all, Stop and Frisk really hurt him. A lot of New Yorkers are very upset over that, and the Black community as well. And then the non-disclosure agreements that Warren was hit him on, I think, two debates in a row.
Right.
And he wouldn't do anything about it. So I knew wasn't going to go anywhere. He just didn't have it in him.
And I'm glad she got out, too.
Yeah, she dropped out, too. Everyone dropped out except for Tulsi Gabbard. Mm-hmm. And she's not getting any of the press for it.
No, I know.
She's not allowed in the next debate, either.
Right. And she should be.
Right.
She did qualify.
Right, until they change the rules.
Right.
They don't want her to be heard nationally. So they're doing everything they can to keep her out. Obviously, she doesn't have the numbers to win. But what she's saying is dangerous to the Democrats' agenda. Mm-hmm. And the less people to hear that, the better for them. It is funny, though, because Elizabeth Warren drops out. And so CNN is talking about how this is sexism at work. And
there is no sexism.
Totally ignoring the fact that Elizabeth Warren just was not a strong candidate. Mm-hmm. She is basically the woman version of Bernie Sanders.
Right.
And she was not good at debates. Any question that came her way, she never gave a clear answer to. She would just be like, oh, well, I knew this family and so-and-so town, and this happened, and this is why this needs to be a major issue. But the question was like, how are you going to pay for this?
Right.
She'd always just talk about these people she knew. She would never answer the question. She'd say, I know these people, and this is why it's important.
Yeah. But I think CNN, if they said the race was sexist in that, I think they're sexist by not covering Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard.
So, I mean, why would they say it's sexist when they don't even cover a female?
Right. So they're talking about how this is the 100th year anniversary of women getting the right to vote. And so they're saying conditions are perfect in a sense of moral justice to send a woman to the White House this year. It seems like everyone's so concerned about just getting a woman in the White House, no matter who it is. Mm-hmm. Like with Hillary Clinton, a lot of people were like, well, it's time for a woman president, blah, blah, blah. But it has to be the right woman. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, the people didn't want Elizabeth Warren.
Right. I mean, it is. I think women should have been president. We should have had a woman president 20 years ago. But there's been no qualified women. Running, there's a lot of qualified women,
right?
None of them ran.
Running, yeah.
And I think the Republicans will have one in 4 years. Nikki, I can't think of her name now. She was the UN ambassador. She was governor of Louisiana, and she's very prominent and very well versed in foreign affairs, and I think you're going to see her be running for president. Mm. She's very
smart. I'll have to look into her because I don't know what her...
I can't think of her name.
Ideas are.
Yeah, it probably follows the Republican ideas.
But, yeah.
But she's just smart as can be. And, I mean, she went up against the other, you know, the UN ambassadors and mm-hmm. programs. I mean, she's a very strong person. So,
let's see here. What else did they say? So CNN did mention, in parentheses, they say, they say it's perfect year to send a woman to the White House, but it isn't, or it ain't happening. They said it ain't happening. I know that's a word, but it's just weird to see in journalism. And then in parentheses says, yes, even though, Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii is still in the race. It was the only mention of Tulsi Gabbard in this article. And I did find one article on Tulsi Gabbard on CNN about her running, but it had nothing to do with her ideas, her likability, or anything like that. It was just about how the rules are going to be changing and she's not going to qualify. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Okay, so their question was, why did a woman not do better than third in any of the primaries so far. And, well, we like we said, Elizabeth Warren was just not strong. She was not likable. She's not trustworthy. There's been so many reasons to not trust her. Right. And then Amy Klobuchar so the Democrats are worried about beating Trump. Amy Klobuchar is not the person to do it.
No. And she wasn't even nationally known. I mean, she was banking on the debates and everything, but she wasn't really known. And, you know, so that makes it tough, too.
Right.
I mean, at least Elizabeth Warren had been in the news because of the crazy things that she right. said. So
her name is known.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. Yeah, all right, I'll have to look into her.
And she was the former governor of South Carolina.
South Carolina. Okay.
So, yeah, look into her because yeah. she's smarter than heck.
Let's see. So as Warren suspended her campaign, she was asked if sexism played a role in her failure as a presidential candidate, and she replied, "Gender in this race, you know that is the trap question for every woman. If you say yeah, everyone says whiner, and if you say no, a bazillion women think what planet do you live on?" And that's just not true. It's not true. Because the women weren't even behind you.
Right.
They were behind other people. Like I said, they're worried about beating Trump. Who's going to be the best, strongest person to beat Trump? I don't know why they think Biden is the strongest person to beat Trump.
Well, Biden said that Trump's afraid of him. And I think he would go down fast. And Sanders, I don't think anybody wants... Well, I shouldn't say anybody. Most people don't want a socialist in there. So
the establishment doesn't want him in there.
Right. But I don't think the American people, I say the American people, but I don't think most of the American people want a socialist in there.
Right. But if he were able to win the nomination, you know, most of the Democrats or most of people voting Democrat would vote for him just so they weren't voting for Trump.
Yeah.
They would just vote for whatever Dem is up there.
Or they won't vote.
Right. So a big reason why Bernie did so bad in Super Tuesday is because his voter base is young, and apparently he didn't have a big turnout. And that's a problem with having a younger voter base, because they don't care about primaries, because they don't really know about them. They don't really understand how important they are. They're more important than the general election. Mm-hmm. Definitely. But he just didn't do enough to get that turnout. Like AOC worked really, really hard to get young voter turnout. Yeah. And that's how come she did so well.
Well, and the candidates that she backed for Congress and that got beat, they lost the primary.
Mm-hmm.
So I think her star is starting to dim a little bit.
Yeah.
Too. And, you know, I just think the socialist movement has woken a lot of people up in mm-hmm. the country, and I think you're going to see a backlash against Sanders. You had said young people don't go out to vote in the primaries, but I don't even think they're going to go out in the election, because they will back a candidate and they'll go to rallies and they... You know, and it's almost like a protest. You know, they'll go to those things. But when it comes time to fulfill a duty, I don't think they really care. And
I think if Bernie doesn't get the nomination, the young voter turnout for the Democratic Party is going to be very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to, like they say, Bernie or bust. And, yes, they may not come out to the primaries, but they're probably planning to go to general elections if Bernie was there. But if he's not going to be there,
right.
they're not going. Because they will feel like they don't have a say in it anyway. But, yeah, who else dropped out? Pete dropped out. I think we talked about that.
Yep.
And Steyer and what's his face?
They all backed Biden.
Yes, and they all endorsed Biden except Warren.
Warren, yeah, I think they said that they think she's waiting for Bernie to offer her the vice presidency before she makes a commitment.
Right.
So she's holding out.
I think everybody backing Biden is partly because of the DNC. I think they're making them, obviously, because they don't want Bernie. So I feel like everyone's endorsing Biden.
Right.
Just because they have to,
well, if they basically want a political future, they probably have to.
Yeah. Right. And so that also helped him for Super Tuesday. I think it was right after South Carolina, three people dropped out and backed him.
Right.
And so Elizabeth Warren is not backing anybody. I think the safest thing for her is to just not back anyone. For her political reputation. Because if she backs Biden, she's going to get a lot of backlash from her supporter base. Because Biden disagrees with a lot of what she wants. Her best bet is either to go Bernie or nobody. If she goes Bernie, she's going to get backlash from the establishment. So honestly, to keep her political reputation, she should just not do anything.
Right. Go to the convention.
Yeah.
And back whoever the winner is.
Right.
And say, you know, as a Democrat, I'll back.
Just to beat Trump. Right. Is. Yeah.
Another story that came out this week is that the Senate committee in charge of investigations has seven Republicans and six Democrats on it. And they're bringing up a resolution this week to start an investigation on Hunter Biden.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
And Mitt Romney said that he'll vote with the Democrats against it. So that it creates a tie, 7-7, and then you can't do anything.
Right.
So Mitt Romney's going to be in the spotlight again as siding with the Democrats. And in discussions I was having with friends, they think that he's going to change parties to be a Democrat, especially if Trump gets reelected. And they say he's only doing it because he can't stand Trump, because Trump beat him in the primary, but he did back him for a senator in Utah. So that's going to be an interesting thing. And one of the senators or the chairman of the committee said, look, we have to do this so the country can find out once and for all if it was a fake and he was using the job for his father. Or there's nothing there. And he said, if there's nothing there, then you stop it. But they never even inquired about it before. So it's too bad that, you know, Romney.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out.
I think it's Wednesday they're bringing it to the floor.
Mm-hmm. So. What was I going to say? Oh, who do you think, if Biden gets the nomination, he'll pick for VP?
I don't know. I don't think it'll be anybody that was on the stage.
I don't think
it'll be anybody on the stage. He'll have to pick a vice president candidate, because usually what they do is pick a candidate in a state that is really close. And so I think it's probably going to be one of the young, one of the young either governors or senators from a state that's he needs that's really close that they can turn. I really don't know who he could pick. I think it's got to be somebody that's prominent but young, and you know, like I say, it's going to be from a close state.
I think he's going to pick Michelle Obama.
You think so?
I think so. It would mean a lot of things to his campaign if he did. I think the only way of him standing a chance against Trump would be to pick Michelle Obama. He's considered it. He has said that he would like her, if she would be so kind to accept it, but that's not official, not like an official pick, but he has talked about it. California has already said they would like her on the ticket, and if you've noticed at all what he says in debates, he's always talking about the Obama era and bringing it back, keeping the policies and just making them better. And it would also be kind of historical, because not only would it be a person of color as a VP, it would be a woman of color. Mm-hmm. So it's like another step closer. Like, yeah, we didn't get a female president this year, but we did get a female vice president. I feel like that would be a good card for him to play.
Yeah. The only thing is that President Obama hasn't backed him.
Right.
And
I think he's waiting.
He could be, but, and I don't think Michelle Obama would settle for vice president. I think she was hoping for a brokered convention, mm-hmm. so that they would have picked her as the candidate to go against Trump. But you're not going to have a brokered convention now, because of the way Biden came back. I think it's going to be close in the delegates. Mm-hmm. And then you also have those super delegates, which they could pick the candidate. And that's what Bernie's afraid of, is the super delegates.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I don't know. I think not backing Biden from the beginning when he was Obama's vice president kind of indicated they really don't like Obama or Biden that much. I don't know.
I don't know. I think they're playing it strategically. Mm. I think, because Biden's doing so well right now. They're probably waiting for it to kind of like fizzle out just a little bit and then get Obama's endorsement and then just like surge again, mm-hmm. and get more people into it. I don't know. I just think it would be a smart card for him to play.
Oh, it probably would be.
Like, if he did that, then no doubt about it would he be a tough match against Trump. Other than that, though, I don't see him standing a chance.
I think he would still get beat in debates.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no matter who's there, Trump is just going to eat him up.
But it's still, like you say, it's still a card
that yep.
It could be. Because Trump right now, I think they said he needs 8% of the black vote to put him over the top. And right now they say he's got 22%. Mm-hmm. So how many blacks would defect if Obama was on the ticket?
Right.
You know what I mean? How mm-hmm. many of those Trump blacks?
That would affect it a lot, probably.
I think so.
Just for the pure principle of it.
Right.
I think so, yeah.
But, listening to prominent blacks in business and just everyday people that they go and interview, they love Trump because of what he did for their job market for minorities. And they said, for all these years, the Democrats have been promising this and promising that, and all they do is throw money into these programs to keep us down. They don't create jobs. And he said, and Trump gets in there, and what's he do? He creates all this opportunity to get jobs, and they think he's really a good guy. So it's going to be interesting to see what percentage of that vote he gets. And believe it or not, he does have female voters on his side.
Yes, he does, yeah.
You would think that he wouldn't, but he does. And Crazy Joe, with him going around kissing everybody and rubbing their necks from behind,
Yeah, he's definitely not
your normal.
Yeah.
but you know what? It's going to be interesting. I just can't wait till it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't want a year to fly by, but
I can't
wait until after Election Day.
Yeah.
Because I think, if Trump gets reelected, I think he'll be able to do more because he won't have to care about getting elected again.
I'm curious to see what they're going to pull out next.
Yeah.
If he gets reelected.
I know.
I honestly believe we're going to have another 4 years of Trump. I think that because too. unless, like I said, Michelle Obama gets on the ticket, and that could be a big blow to him. But other than that, I don't see Joe Biden standing a chance, no matter who he picks for VP. I don't see anybody being that powerful to just win people over based on that fact. But yeah, I would be curious to see what they come up with next, what else they got up their sleeves.
Well, you know, one of the things I think that'll come out is you can't tell people when they say, oh, the top 1% doesn't pay any taxes. And the top 1%, I mean, you know, you can look it up. The top 1% pays like 53% of income tax. The next largest group is the middle class that pays 30% of all
about
income tax.
15 to 30, yeah.
Right. And then the rest of the percentage, people pay no income tax.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like, well, there's a 20% other level that pays taxes, but I think it's almost between 15 and 20% that pay no taxes. But when you looked at the top 1%, they pay the majority of income tax. I don't know where people keep coming up with this top 1%. I mean, come on. Look at the facts.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I'm sure they do find loopholes in some things and, like, don't have to pay taxes on whatever. But when you look at the amount of money they do pay into it, mm-hmm. it's astronomical.
Sure.
And, like, they're not the people to be mad at. The people to be mad at are the people enforcing income tax.
Right. That's right.
So I just don't understand. Like, they're like, well, that's not really their money. They're taking our money from us. The top 1% is not taking your money from you.
No, they're not.
No. The government is taking your money from you.
That's right.
And the top 1% lobbies for lower taxes. So I don't know.
And
they're trying to help you, honestly.
And if Bernie got in, my gosh, what will the middle class have to pay? Because I know he says he's going after billionaires, but they said if he got all the money from billionaires, he could. It would still only
So with his plan, actually nothing rises on the middle class. Just looking at his plan, how he would like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
In theory, his plan does not raise taxes, income tax on the middle class. But we do know that in practice, he's not going to get the percent of taxes out of the top that he is planning on, which means it's going to eventually have to raise taxes on the middle class mm-hmm. to pay for what he wants. So in theory, at the beginning, no, it's not going to raise. And then he's going to realize, well, these people can get out of paying what I think we can get out of them.
Right.
So we're going to have to make up for it in the middle class.
Right.
And so that's where the problem is.
Now, a friend of mine sent me this quote, and I looked it up. It's an actual quote by Harry Reid when he was the head of Congress. And, I mean, it's the dumbest quote I ever heard from a politician. Paying taxes is voluntary. What's voluntary about? If you don't want to pay your income tax, what would happen to you?
Oh, they come after you.
Right. It's not voluntary. But see, this is what they say. To make people, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No.
And it's funny because there's Alexandria Cortez last year made a comment, owning guns is not a right. If it were a right, it would be in the Constitution.
I just don't
Obviously,
know.
She doesn't know anything.
No.
But we know that, so.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's not anything new. So, I don't know. It's crazy people.
Yeah, let's see. What else do I have here? I don't really have anything much else besides the fact that they've been doing heavy investigations to where the prison where Epstein died.
Yeah.
And they've been finding a lot of, like, smuggled stuff in there, like a loaded gun and a bunch of drugs. Yeah. And there's just a lot of foul play with the guards and with security there. Very interesting to see what comes out of this. It just sucks, obviously, that we're never going to, be able to talk to him and get things out of him. But he did not kill himself. I don't think he did.
I believe that too. I don't think he killed himself. And for the victims, I think it's hard that he was killed.
Right. Because now he doesn't have to suffer.
Right. It would have been better for him to go to court. Like Weinstein is going to have to do probably for the rest of his life. And so at least they get some satisfaction, but it's tough. And in actuality, I think the people that hung around with him are so famous that they didn't want him talking.
So, well, yeah, definitely.
You know, so it's...
He had ties to the royal family.
Royal family, and they said Clinton may even have been involved. And you know what happens if people irritate the Clintons.
Yep.
I mean, you're not around much longer.
No, and that's proven.
Yeah.
Well, not legally, but...
Yeah, it's...
I mean, it doesn't take a detective to figure it out.
Not after so many.
No.
You know? But it's, yeah, it's a sad case, and I feel sorry for the victims, although why anybody would go on a boat for a week with somebody that they don't really know because they're getting paid big money, I kind of think they're foolish too, but not to the point where they should have been treated like that.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, that's what Weinstein, that's why he was found not guilty on three counts, because they're saying that, you know, the women went up there voluntarily. And
right.
But still, even if you go up there voluntarily, it doesn't mean you should be attacked.
Right, right.
You know, so yep. Even if they're stupid enough to go up there, and they still shouldn't be attacked. That's
right.
The key. I mean, you know.
Yeah, so I guess we're going to have to see how... When's the next debate? The next debate is March 15th.
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
I know President Trump will be in the same city that night.
Oh, yeah?
Having a big rant. Well, he always does. Every time they have a debate, he goes in the city, has a big debate, and draws like 20,000 people.
I just want the primaries to be over so I can watch...
Head-to-head.
Head-to-head debates.
Hey, did you watch Trump's town hall meeting on Fox?
No.
Yeah, they had, I don't know how many people were in there. They had, I'm going to say like 100 people, and it was in one of the states that had a primary. But the people asked the questions. The two moderators, I think it was Brett Baer and Martha McCollum, just moderated, but the people asked the questions directly to the president. And, you know, it was so refreshing to see no spin on it. I mean, they came right out and asked questions. And, you know, I think they were happy with what they heard.
Oh, good.
I mean, he was talking about everything. Because now the big thing is that he's going to really cut Social Security and Medicare. And all he said was that he wants to cut entitlements to help balance the budget. He never mentioned Social Security.
We'll see how well that goes through with Congress.
I know.
Because you say that to Congress, and they're like, not my Social Security.
Oh, well, I don't think they do Social Security or Medicare, but there's a lot of programs. Like, remember when they wanted to pass that law where if you were a certain age, like if you had a child between 18 and 25, you would still get benefits like, you know, food stamps, HEAP, and welfare. But when you were 25 to you were 62, you would have to work part-time
to get
benefits. Then if you were over 62, you could get full benefits again. So really, that was a good thing because it was making people a working age go out to work. You know what I mean? They could work part-time, get benefits. And once you start working, you want to work full-time because you're around people and you start socializing, you make new friends. And so I don't think Congress would let that pass. So that would be one way to help
Yeah, anything to like just start reeling back the programs is a good, definitely.
Right, and you know, look at the job growth in February, which they can't believe. In a month like February, there was over $250,000.
It's all the people we have to employ to clean for the coronavirus.
I know.
But there's two people in Queensbury.
Yeah.
With it.
There's two people in Saratoga County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild. I don't think it's going to. I think the main concern should be, babies and older adults.
Right. With conditions.
Or people with pre-existing conditions. Right, I don't think, like, anyone, like, I don't think I have to worry, because even if I did get it, I don't think it'd be fatal.
Right.
Because my immune system's up and healthy and young.
But see, a person with heart problems.
Right.
And diabetes.
I mean, anybody who would... it would be dangerous to get the flu.
Exactly.
Should be worried about it.
Exactly.
But I don't think like your typical healthy middle-aged American is at risk of dying from this.
Right. Like you say, it depends on their health issues. Yeah. I mean, if they have breathing problems or bad heart problem or bad diabetes, of course that's going to work on those problems, and you will have a chance of not doing it. But it's like they say, they're coming out with, I think, 1 million more test kits on Monday, and on Wednesday they'll have that many more, if not, and every county and city health department will have kits that they can test. And we're one of the best countries. If we had to solve the problem to do it, we're one of the best countries to do it. I mean, something unheard of happened this week, where all the drug companies got together and they said, we'll pool our resources to find a vaccine, and we'll pool our resources to get these test kits out. Usually they don't work together.
Mm-hmm.
See, by doing that, like Quest and the other blood labs, they deal with doctors all over the country in every city, town, or county, so they'll be able to get them out fast.
Uh-huh.
So, the most important thing is hygiene.
Yeah, definitely.
Keep your wash your hands a lot. Use the sanitizer if you can find any. I mean, no store has it now, but hopefully they'll restock, and soap and water works just as well.
I think the panic is just because it's new.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't see it coming.
Right.
We don't know much about it. We got to learn about it. And I think people just panic when there's a foreign entity, Cuomo put New York in a state of emergency.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. I don't think it's a state of emergency.
He doesn't
understand what that means.
That's more
for the city,
glory
but
for him.
Yeah.
No, it's more glory for him.
You're right.
I'm taking care of my people.
Right.
And the only way he can do that is to get out of office. Because, I mean, last week we talked about the plastic bag went into effect. So I went to buy vegetables, and what do you have to put them in?
In plastic bags,
And, gee, I bought a loaf of bread, and what does that come in?
In a plastic bag.
So if you're going to be consistent, wouldn't you eliminate all of them?
Right.
I mean, why? So really, it's just for show.
It is.
And, I mean, you could have a disposal.
What do they call it? Virtue signaling?
Yeah.
It's just for that, to gain more points with... Yeah.
With environmentalists and stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's all I got. We're getting ready to go to South Carolina next month.
Oh, you are?
Yep.
How long are you going for?
6 or 7 days. Oh, we're going longer this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. You like South Carolina?
Yeah, it's nice. We went last year, and unfortunately, we caught a bad week of rainstorms.
Oh dear.
We had like 1.5 days where it was like sunny, and it was like a cold front too, so it was like
Yeah.
I think the highest was like 72, and then like the rest is like 55.
And when it's 72 in the rain, it's chilly.
Yeah. So I know it's a little far out right now, but it's looking like high 80s in sun. So hopefully.
Well, when you take time off from work and you only have a certain amount of vacation, you want everything to be perfect.
Yep.
Because if it's not, it's not like, gee, boss, we had 4 days of rain. Can I do over 4 days?
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't do that, you know?
No. Yeah, but it should be fun. I'm excited. Well, got a lot of things planned, so.
Well, that's fun. That's fun.
Yeah.
You'll still be able to get around
good
enough, so.
Yeah. Noah's excited to go boogie boarding.
All right.
Taught him how to boogie board last year.
Way to go.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. So I guess I'll talk to you guys next week.
Have a good week.